Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another broadcast of Real Life with Rich in Christ. This show is like no other show that you're going to hear in Christian media today. And I can say that pretty much, truthfully and with boldness, because what I talk about is not the status quo of what most Christian teachers and preachers and leaders talk about. Because what I talk about is how God works in your real life today. And that is the real life of what you're going through today. We're living in a pretty volatile economy right now. Things are springing back in some places, but other places, you know, it's tough. And people have lost homes, and people have lost, you know, careers and jobs, and there's people out there that are sick, and they have debilitating health problems, and they're wondering where God is in all this, because they go to church every Sunday, and they hear some canned message about, you know, about God, and that really has nothing to do with how they deal with their daily pain and suffering. And so what I share is, in a real way, my own real life and the things that, you know, God has brought me through by his grace over the last 35 years. And then I try to offer some comfort to the people that are going through the same thing. And this morning when I woke up, this is not canned or planned. I never plan anything with this show because it's not me speaking. It's the Spirit of God speaking. And before I posted this today, I said on my Facebook timeline, I said, come and listen to what the Lord, you know, to what's going to happen, because it's not going to be me talking, because you don't want to hear me talking. And then, so this morning I was thinking about, you know, the years that I wanted to be in the professional ministry and all that I did, the three times that I signed up for the different Bible colleges, and the three times that God used my ex-wife, of all people, to stop that whole process. And at the time, I thought it was the most, you know, it was detrimental to me and to what God was doing. And now I look back and I realize that God was using her in the same way he used the donkey, you know, to save the guy who was headed for certain destruction in the Bible, Balaam's donkey. And so, you know, and I thank God I never was a part of that that system, because it pleased the Lord to take me through another way. And it's the same way that he's taken through so many today. And I've talked to some of them just this last week. And these are people who have been, you know, through the religious treadmill. They've gone to every, you know, church that is out there. You know, they've been in the charismatic movement. They've been in the Bible-thumping movement. They've been in the community church movement. They've been in the seeker-friendly movement, you know, and well, I was about to say something, but that probably wouldn't be very good. and they're fed up. They're fed up. And they don't know where to turn, because there's nowhere to turn. Because when you walk in one door, and it doesn't matter what flag is flying outside the door, whether it's a Baptist or a Pentecostal or Assembly of God or you know, whatever it is, it doesn't matter if it's got the same exact thing going on inside of it. The thing that's going inside of most churches today is what Paul he talks about it in two different places in his writings that I know of, and that is the different gospel. He talks about it. He calls it a different gospel. He said it has it's about a different Jesus and another spirit. And at the very end of 2 Corinthians 11, 3 and 4, he says, you know, that you have been deceived and led away from the pure and sincere devotion to Christ. Well, that's a key word he's using there, because pure is one. And one is coming back to the single eye focus. what Jesus talked about in Matthew 6:22. If your eye is single, it's full of light. What does that mean? Well, you got to keep reading because it lets you know what it means. Because he goes on to say, if your eye is evil, it's full of darkness. And the first time I saw that here, you know, about 10 years ago, in the way that I see it now, I looked at that and I thought, wait a minute, evil is not the opposite of single. Double is. And so I realized what Jesus was saying is the single eye is seeing only him in all things. And Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. He only spoke what he heard the Father saying. And a real good example of this is when Jesus is standing before Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate says to him, don't you know I have the power to crucify you or to set you free? And Jesus did not blink because he was hearing from his Father at that exact second, because Jesus always heard from his Father. And he said, you wouldn't have any power if it wasn't from above. And I don't know if he was, you know, I don't think he was pointing above as in heaven, because that's what above has become to us. And all that has done is create a separated view of God. But I think he's saying above the line, above your intellect, above what you see, in another realm, in the spirit, you wouldn't have any power if it wasn't given to you from my Father, who lives in another place where you can't see him. And so we hear a message our whole lives, most of us, that talks about a God who's in a separate place called heaven, and that you can call out to him and he will come to you, and then he will help you get to where you want to go. And we call that the will of God. And then we wonder why we have absolutely no power in the church today. And in fact, the church, the universal Christian church, is an absolute laughing stock in society today. It is embarrassing to turn on the TBN or any of those TV programs. It's embarrassing to hear what they're talking about. It's embarrassing to see men and women that are gray-haired and supposedly walking with a crown of wisdom, not their own wisdom, but the wisdom that comes from above the line, and hearing them talking about what they can get from God and what you can get from God if you do the same exact thing that they're doing. It's an embarrassment. And so I was thinking this morning about the striving that I was doing in, early in my walk, because I wanted, you know, my identity before I got saved was I partied. And I not only partied, I partied hard. I drank, and I did all the drugs that were out there except for the needle drugs, because I didn't like needles. Thank God I didn't, because I probably wouldn't be here. It's a miracle I'm here anyway. But, and so I partied, and that was my identity. I wasn't an athlete. I wasn't popular. I wasn't, you know, a top student. I wasn't the valedictorian of my class. In fact, when I received my diploma, I was speeding my brains out and on drugs, going across the stage. And that was my identity. And then I ended up in treatment because my job, my employer, caught me sleeping on the job for the third time, and they gave me the ultimatum. They said, either go into treatment and get this taken care of. It was a U.S. steel company back in the day when there were great jobs and, you know, great money. And they gave me the option, go into treatment or go down the road. And so I went into treatment to save my job. A couple weeks later, I brought my Living Bible in with me because I had had a bout at one time with God and walked away from that. And I brought my Living Bible with me, and I opened it up, and I was about 2 weeks into group, and they were on me. If you've ever been in a rehab situation, they have what's called a hot seat, and it was my day to be in the hot seat. I came back from the group session when I was in the hot seat, and I took my Bible out, and I threw it down on my bed, and it opened up to Matthew 6:34. And in the Living Bible, it says something like, live one day at a time. Well, that's a theme in AA, is one, live one day at a time. I was hearing that from the time I walked in the door. And so it was God saying to me, this is where I want you. And not only this is where I want you, but he was showing me through that one verse that this is your ministry. Your ministry is going to be the same as Habakkuk, where you look around and you see all you see is destruction. Though the fig tree blossom and there's no fruit on the vine, though the yield of the olive fail and there's no cattle in the stalls. I mean, Habakkuk looked around. The prophet Habakkuk looked around and there was destruction, famine, starvation. And God was speaking to him in the spirit, and he said, I'm going to take you, Habakkuk, to a place where you walk above your high places. I'm going to give you the feet that are able to walk above the high places. Remember, the Bible says that your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace as part of the full armor. So I'm going to give you feet that are designed to walk in a certain place. The same place where those mountain goats can walk, but nobody else can. And so that was the beginning of my Christian walk right there. And my identity went from being the party guy to having the drugs and having the beer when the keg ran out and having the music and all of that, you know, and this is back in the 70s before cell phones and cable TV and all this, you know, to my identity being about being in ministry. And so I strived to be in ministry because it was my identity. I didn't have an identity. Everybody has to have an identity. If you don't have an identity, you're not a human being. You can have an identity as a child molester. You can have an identity as the president of the United States. I mean, your identity is who you are. And the only identity that the believer has is Jesus Christ, period. Nothing else. He is their life, and there is no other life. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's not the way it is in most cases with most people, but that's the way it's supposed to be. Paul said, when Christ, who is my life, appears, I will appear also with him in glory. He's not talking about the sweet by and by, the place called heaven. He's talking about the glory of Christ in him as him right here and right now. Because Paul read John 15. Paul knew that he was the branch and Jesus was the vine and that apart from him, he could do nothing. And so every person has to have an identity. And I strived after ministry because I had no identity. And my identity became what I knew about God. Not deliberately. I didn't deliberately set out to be an arrogant, you know, so-and-so. I didn't throw it up in people's faces, but that's where I went. And then God had to deal with that. And every time I tried to get in the professional ministry, God would shut the door. I was going to go to Jimmy Swaggart's Bible College just before Jimmy Swaggart got caught with the prostitute. I was going to go to Northwestern Bible College in Seattle, Washington, and I had a situation happen. I was going to go to a Bible college in Minnesota. I was going to go to the Berean School of the Bible, which is an Assembly of God correspondence school, and that never happened. And so that wasn't his plan for me. And now I can look back and I can say, oh, thank God it wasn't his plan for me. Because I would have been a part of the cookie cutter crowd. The ones that are saying the same exact thing week after week, and the infantile leaders that are ministering to the infantile congregations, and nobody is growing up in God. And the reason they're not growing up is because I was thinking today, you know, it's really easy for believers in America, especially, that when things don't go right, we turn on God. I've done it my whole life. I don't do it as often, but I still do it because it's ingrained. It's something that's ingrained in me. It comes from a background of brokenness and a background of dysfunction and a background of rejection and hurt and suffering. Okay? That's what it comes through. So when it happens, it's a knee-jerk reaction. And I've learned that God knows that about me. God knows everything about me, intimately. Everything is open and laid bare before him with whom we have to do. That's a good thing. It wasn't such a good thing at one time in my life when I was hiding from God. But now I know it's an invitation to freely be unencumbered with the weight of the things that don't matter. To lay it down, walk away from it. With my Father who loves me without any conditions, without any strings attached, and will never abandon me no matter what. And I know that because God has taken me into the place where all that's left is me and him. And the way that you know God will never leave or forsake you is when that happens, is when all there's left is you and him and he's still there. That's the way you know it. That's the way you know unconditional love. And the reason I'm saying all this is I know that there's people out there who are longing to be used by God. But what I'm going to say to you is it's not going to happen the way you've got it planned. It's his plan for you, not yours. And so the bankruptcy that you've dealt with and the brokenness and the sickness and the lost jobs and the lost homes and all of these things that you've done and you've gone through and you look at yourself and you call those failings, those are springboards to absolute and complete dependence on Jesus Christ alone. Every single one of those is a springboard to seeing Christ as your life. So for the believer, I got some awesome news. I mean, it's called the good news, right? I've got some good news. The good news is in Christ you can never fail. It's an impossibility for you to fail in Jesus Christ. Romans 8:28 is not some little quip. You know, it's the truth. For we know, not we think, we know that God causes all things to work together for good. We have to know that. We have to know that we sin and we do all this stuff that we do until we come to the knowledge of the truth and we go out and we do this stuff and we still do it today because we don't always see with a single eye. And we have to know that that all that happens and it all happens under grace and not the law. Somebody says, well, you can't use the grace of God as a license to sin. Well, then go out and use the law as a license to sin and see where that gets you. The grace of God is there for us to fall down and fail. That's the reason the grace of God is there. The grace of God has appeared to all men, bringing salvation to all men. Titus 2:11, read it. For the grace of God who brings salvation to all, or that brings salvation. That's the way the writers wrote it. Okay, that. But it's a who. The grace of God who brings salvation to all men. Who is the grace of God who brings salvation to all men? Right there is the definition of true grace. When you go to 1 Corinthians 13 and you read about the love of God, Replace that word love with Jesus, because God is love, Jesus is love. You're just reading a description of Jesus Christ through 1 Corinthians 13, not a how-to on how to love in your own strength with the help of God. And because we have been fed the divided and separated gospel for all these years, we believe it to be true, and God has to redefine it. And the only way he can redefine it is by taking us into those hard places, taking life past us. And we have no other choice but to surrender. We have no other choice but to yield. And listen to the Spirit of God. That's what God is doing in his body today. That's why you're going through what you're going through. There's no punishing God. There's no punishing God. All the punishment for all time, for all men, was laid on his son, Isaiah 53. So that we can walk in the freedom by which we were made free, Galatians 5:1. And so today, you're striving for the ministry. Well, I'm going to give you your doorway to the ministry. And it's not having to go spend money at a Bible college, and it's not having to get a correspondence course or sit under some teacher. It's very simple. It's three words. The first word is release. Release everything that you're holding on to right now. Release everything that you're holding on to right now and still calling your life. Because Galatians 2:20 says the life that we live is no longer our own. It's him living in and through us. Release it. Let go of it. You're walking through life with your fists clenched. Put your hands out with your fists clenched. Put your hands out in front of you with your fists clenched. What can you receive from God with your fists clenched like that? When you're calling your life your own, whatever it is. Your kids that are out there going crazy, that's God's problem. Those are his kids. They're not your kids. The job that you're losing, that's God redirecting you for a purpose that goes beyond what you can see so that you can walk by faith and not by sight. And you can grow up from an infant Christian into an adolescent Christian into an adult Christian. The three phases that John talks about. Release what you're holding on to. Release it. Just let it go. Open your hands. Put your arms out in front of you. Open up your hands and say, God, this is my life. Just as it is. Bankrupt. Sick. Depressed. The Spirit of God doesn't leave you in your depression like the church tells us. Oh, God can't look on sin. Well, I'd like to say something right now about that, but I won't. The Spirit of God doesn't leave you when you need him the most. That's asinine stupidity, if I've ever heard it. And I believed it for years, just like you have. Just like you believed the tithe, the lie of the tithe that you have to give to get. Release what you're holding on to, and the next thing is rest. Hebrews 3:7 to 4:11. Write it down. A dear brother of mine showed me that passage way back in 1986. He was a Lutheran lawyer from Seattle, Washington. I loved him. I'd go up in his office, and we'd sit and share Christ. And I was sitting in my office one day. I was a maintenance man. For Kenworth Truck Company, their corporate offices. And the phone rang, and he said, Rich, come up to my office. And I'd come up there in my maintenance clothes, and he'd be in his suit and tie, and he showed me Hebrews 3:7 to 4:11. And it's about the rest of God. And then I read The Holiest of All by Andrew Murray. I picked it up one day. I was walking through a church going to pick up one of my kids at a class. After church or Sunday school or whatever it was, and I almost walked on top of this book. It was called The Holiest of All by Andrew Murray, and it's an exposition on the entire book of Hebrews. I opened it up to one, I just flipped it open to the chapter, and it said the rest of God. And I read it, and God began to open my eyes up to his rest. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The rest that he gives you is himself. It's not a separate rest. It's himself. He is the rest. So release what you're holding on to and rest in the Lord. Understanding that God loves you exactly as you are. He couldn't love you any more than he does. And there's no strings attached to that love. None. And he's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. Not ever. And once you release what you're holding on to, and you're resting in him, and this is not something that you do, it's something he does in you, because as you release, you're letting the Spirit work in you, will and do, for his good pleasure. So you release what you're holding on to. You enter into his rest by the faith of the Son of God, and you put yourself in a position to receive, that's the third word, the next thing that God has for you, according to his perfect plan, and not yours. And that might be a tribulation. That might be a time of testing. That might be a time of brokenness. It might be a time of blessing in the way that we see blessing, even though all of what I just mentioned is blessing, because it all opens our eyes up to a deeper revelation of who we are in him. And that's how you find out what it is God wants for you. You release what you're holding on to, you rest in his love, and you wait to receive the next thing. Because Philippians 3:15 and 16 is a little tiny passage that is tucked away in that powerful chapter 3 verse in Philippians. And it says, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear. Only let us live up to what we've already attained. What have you attained today? What have you attained? You've attained everything you need pertaining to life and godliness. He is living in you. You may not see that through the stinging tears and the heart-wrenching brokenness and the convulsive weeping. You have everything you need today pertaining to life and godliness. I think it's 2 Corinthians. I don't know where it is. It's in the Bible. But God wants us to release our life to him. That's what real Christianity is. Because that's recognizing that all we are is the vessel, temple, branch, lamp of God, that he lives his life in and through us. We don't work for God. God works in and through us. Philippians 2:13. And so that little verse in Philippians, it opens up God. It lets you see that you're okay where you're at, and God's going to bring you the needed clarity. And you can rest right there. You can rest right there. This is Real Life with Rich in Christ. I broadcast here every Wednesday. And not too many people listen to me because my message is an all-or-nothing message. It's the message of the cross. It's the losing to gain life Paul talked about. And not many people want to hear that. I've got a 31-day devotional. It's called Rich in Christ. It's not about me. It's about you. And I want to give that to anybody that contacts me on Facebook in a private message. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you open up the eyes and unstop the ears of those who are listening today. And you let them see, God, that they're already ministering in life. And you let them see that there's nowhere else to go and that they're exactly where you plan for them to be at this second. And all they need to do is release, rest, and receive. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, I'll be back here again next week. God willing. God bless.